Bill Wilkie is a Mossman-based writer and independent Australian publisher who has been researching the Daintree blockade for over 4 years. Drawing on over 80 interviews, personal letters and first-hand accounts from people who were there, newspaper reports and previously untapped archives, his book, The Daintree Blockade, is the defining account of those iconic rainforest battles back in the 80s. For those history buffs out there, 4ZZZ was on the scene and reports filed helped inform the book.
Well, the protest blockade up at Cape Tribulation continued last week, with more arrests bringing the total to 30 so far. According to Douglas Shire Council members, the road is almost complete now, but, according to the blockaders and ZZZ's on-the-spot reporter Steve Stockwell, the road is nowhere near completion. In fact, after almost 3 weeks, the bulldozers have only managed to clear 2 kilometres of road.
In December 1983, a small group of local residents formed a peaceful protest when work commenced on a road from Cape Tribulation to Bloomfield in Australia's tropical northeast. The road was slated to go through one of the last remaining areas of tropical lowland rainforest in the country and traverse the recently declared Cape Tribulation National Park. When the protest halted the Douglas Shire Council's road work, the police moved in and many protesters were arrested.
I've been authorised under the National Parks and Wildlife Act to direct you as follows. Peter James Stanton, Regional Director, James Frazier Wilkins, Regional Superintendent, Anthony Simmons, Overseer 3, and any police officer or and any person acting under direction of the said Stanton, Wilkins, Simmons.
But the blockade was bolstered by Southern supporters, and the protest escalated into a full-scale environmental confrontation, which came to be known as the Daintree Blockade.
Started by asking Bill how important this protest was in the overall development of Australia's environmental movement.
It was really, really important. The rainforest protest really kicked off at the end of the 1970s with Terania Creek and some of the northern New South Wales protests. Then a few years later we had the Franklin Dam, the biggest environmental protests that we've seen in Australia and most successful as well. The Daintree came a year after the Franklin, and the Daintree and what became the Wet Tropics campaign was one of the main focuses for the environment movement over the 3 or 4 years from 83 through to about 87. Rainforests were the really big issue at that time, not just in Australia but internationally, with Amazon and Asian rainforests being cleared at that time as well.
Your book, The Daintree Blockade, is this the first time this particular story has been told?
It's the first time the whole story has been looked at, yeah, it is. The blockade happened over 2 separate events. So there was the blockade in December of 1983, and then there was another blockade in August of 1984. There was a small publication that came out after the 1983 blockade, but there wasn't really anything written about the 1984 blockade. You'll find in a lot of books about the environment movement, there'll be a chapter on the Daintree, but nothing that has really focused on the experiences of the protesters who were there, what drove people to travel to Cape Tribulation. It was a very remote area. It's about 2 hours drive north of Cairns, which is the nearest airport, so it was a real effort to get to.
What exactly happened during the protest, and why then and there?
Douglas Shire Council decided that they were going to build a road from Cape Tribulation to Bloomfield. It was the only stretch of coast along the entire east coast of Australia that didn't have Highway Number 1 going along it. For 20 or 30 years, it had been the aspiration for many of the people in the Shire to build that road.
National Party Environment Minister Martin Tenney.
No pollution, no erosion, no problems at all. No, there was no impact study done between the Daintree River and Cape Tribulation, yet we've got that problem. So all your impact studies and all your wasted time, if we did that years ago, we wouldn't have had a road in this country.
By this stage, a lot of people who were conservation-minded had moved into the area. So before that, it was a very conservative sugar town and also had industries of logging and cattle. In the 70s, there was a gravitation of people or a movement of people who wanted to live alternative, self-sufficient lifestyles. They had moved into the area and they had different ideas about the natural environment, and they fell in love with the place that they moved to because it is quite stunning and beautiful and lush tropical vegetation. And they decided that it was better to leave what little rainforest was intact in place. So they mobilised themselves and formed the Wilderness Action Group, the Douglas Shire Wilderness Action Group, with the purpose of trying to stop the road.
You're listening to 4ZZZ's Brisbane Line. That ends part one of the Daintree Blockade.
That force isn't necessary. That's not reasonable. Oh, look at this guy here. Watch him.
When the road builders showed up, a small group of local protesters showed up as well, and the police showed up. The media were there as well, and some arrests were made, and that became the Daintree Blockade.
Was the protest cut and dry, or was it a little bit more complex than that?
You know, you could argue that there was reasonable argument to build a road along that coast. There's a community at Bloomfield and Ayton at the northern end, and they were fairly remote. They had a really rough dirt track up to Cooktown. They were really keen for the road. The Indigenous people there have strong family and kinship connections with the people in Mossman to the south. It's a fairly complex kind of issue, but at the end, it did kind of boil down to greenies and conservationists. The townspeople and the developers. Most of the local people who came from pioneering families were pro-road, so it was a fairly small group of people who were against the road, and that was the people who had arrived throughout the 70s and into the early 80s.
When you were putting the book together, did everybody you approached agree to be interviewed?
Not everybody wanted to participate, but the vast majority of people did, and I was able to get people from both sides. It was a fairly divisive issue at the time. A few people still bear some of the scars, I think, and some people were perhaps unfairly treated. A lot of the people who were there to build the road were just doing their job, but they ended up being on the front line and bore the brunt of some of the treatment from the other side.
If a similar development was slated for the area, do you think there'd be the same type of protest?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think the best example that we've probably got of mobilising people at the moment might be the Adani Coal Project in central Queensland. And so I think we're going to see a huge mobilisation of people, which isn't a rainforest thing and isn't in this local area, but it threatens the Great Barrier Reef, and that could become huge. One thing about the book is that I'm really interested in the legacy of the blockade, and one of the reasons that I really like to have the book out is that we don't take for granted what happened, and that the rainforests, that the national parks that we have now were fought for.
You're listening to 4ZZZ's Brisbane Line.
That force isn't necessary. That's not reasonable.
The great legacy, I think, of the blockade is that World Heritage listing of the Wet Tropics World Heritage Area, which happened a few years after the blockade. For the book, I really like to think that the blockade is remembered, and in particular, the tireless work of the individuals who undertook the broader campaign to have the rainforest protected.
Meanwhile, the campaign is geared up to a national campaign to educate Australians about the Daintree Tribulation area and its uniqueness as an environment. Mr. Hayden Washington says all cities can expect to see films of the area, slideshows and lecture tours, and a book of photographs and text will be published next year. He says the campaign is just beginning, and before it is finished, the Daintree region will be as familiar to most people as the Franklin became. But Mr. Washington, who is also a botanist with the CSIRO, wishes to go on record as saying that the area is in many ways more important scientifically than the Franklin due to the unique combination of humid tropical rainforest and sea level flora and the relative smallness of the remaining area.
Some of these people worked on the campaign for about 10 years at a time when conservation issues were really fringe. It was right at the height of the Joh Bjelke-Petersen era. To stand up against the state government at that time, well, at times it was a dangerous thing to do. I'm really excited by the fact that finally, after 30 years, the people who volunteered their time and who spent countless hours working on the project and the campaign, that finally they will be remembered with what is quite a substantial and, I think, lovely book.
The book, The Daintree Blockade, is a big, beautiful artefact. It's got gorgeous photos and it's beautifully written. So congratulations on that. How can we get a copy?
The easiest way is through my website, daintreeblockade.com.au. Buy it online there. I'm on Facebook, and that's a really good place to keep the dialogue going. So if people are just interested to find out about the book or to hear a few more stories or to connect with people that they might know who were there, type Daintree Book or Daintree Blockade into the Facebook search engine. There'll be updates about where the book is available. At the moment, it's in shops across North Queensland. I hope to distribute it to outlets further afield, but at the moment, online is the best way to go.
Thank you so much for your time today, Bill.
No worries. That's great.
That was Bill Wilkie, Mossman-based writer, independent publisher and author of The Daintree Blockade, which is available now. To order copies of the book or for more information about The Daintree Blockade itself, visit www.daintreeblockade.com.au or go to The Daintree Blockade Facebook page. This is 4ZZZ Brisbane.